Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hello, darling. It's me, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, the sassy lassie with the classy chassis. Oh, thanks for bringing me into your home.
All right, then. Elvira. Mistress of the Dark, who actually, in real life, when it's not dark and she's not a mistress, is Cassandra Peterson. Hi, Cassandra. Welcome to WGN.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm good. Okay. This book you have, yours cruelly, Elvira. Yeah. I've read it. I've loved it. Truly.
Oh, thank God. I mean, it'd be terrible to do an interview with me now if you hated it.
Well, you know, I got to be honest, total transparency. I've done interviews with people whose books I hated.
but they
didn't know it.
Yeah, thank God. I hope not.
So, I would like to start by taking a portion of your book that I think is most like Elvira, but is actually Cassandra, and that is Briarcliff Manor.
Yes.
Could you tell?
I had a little crossover happening there.
Yeah. Can you tell that story?
Sure. Yeah, and it was so bizarre. I mean, it was the house that my ex-husband and I bought in the Hollywood Hills, and we lived there for 5 years, but from the second we moved in and almost up until we left, nothing but weird, spooky things happened there. I mean, I remember just moving in, being on the second floor, unpacking some boxes, and hearing this person walking up on the third floor above me. I could see the ceiling, like, you know, shaking a little as they clomp, clomp, clomped across and then clomp, clomp, clomp backwards. And that really made me mad because I had told the movers, do not put anything on the third floor. We don't know what we're going to do with that yet. So I go running up the stairs yelling, hey, you guys, I asked you not to go up here. And there was nobody there, and there was no place to hide because it was just one big, gigantic room with windows around on all sides. So that happened, and I just chalked it up to maybe a tree branch hitting the room, even though I knew it wasn't, but I had to think of something. And then from then on, one thing after another happened, the objects moving, doors opening and closing. When I put them open, 2 minutes later, they'd be closed. I'd close them, 2 minutes later, they'd be open. On and on, a really weird, mysterious black shadow floating in the bottom of the pool, which the pool was made in 1921. The house was built in, I believe it was 1916. And I later found out that there had been three violent deaths there. Two murders and a suicide. And, you know, I don't know. I got to the point where I said to my husband, we've got to get out of here. I can't live with this anymore. It's getting too creepy. I also saw a couple of ghosts that I literally talked to. They were as real as you or me. And as I spoke to them, they just kind of disappeared in clouds of smoke. It just kind of faded away.
When I read that in the book, my jaw dropped. I haven't had an experience like that. None of that.
Yeah, but, well, I never had either. That's the freaky part. It's not like, oh, Cassandra Peterson, she's really weird. She's always seeing things. She's crazy. I had never had an experience like that in my life before. I never had one afterwards, since I left that house. So, you know, I have to believe it was really happening. I don't know. I finally called in an exorcist and a Native American shaman to clear out the vibes, and it worked. It worked. Weird things stopped happening, and I spent the last year of my time there in the house feeling really, really comfortable there, really very safe. I didn't even lock my doors. I felt so safe. And that's in the middle of Hollywood, so you know, that's not something anyone should do.
What kind of conversation do you have with a ghost? I mean, what did you talk about?
Well, we didn't really have much of a conversation. In one case, it was a man sitting in the chair in front of my fireplace, and I came down. I was getting ready for a dinner party, and I assumed he was somebody who had come with another guest, you know, that somebody had brought along. I mean, and I said to him, "Oh, hi, I'm Cassandra. Who did you come with? Are you here with?" And he just stared at me, and I started getting a little nervous, and I turned around to call my husband down the stairs, and the second I turned around, I turned back, and he was gone. I mean, it was a split second, and then my husband came down. I told him what happened. I was very, very shaken, and he and I ran around the entire property and through all the rooms, looked everywhere, and there was no person there. Yeah, it was just so weird. My dogs, I had two Rottweilers who had been guard trained, and they would stand in the middle of the floor all the time, just in the dark, growling at something that, you know, and we'd lived in other houses with them, and they'd never done that kind of behavior, but they would just stand there in the pitch dark, you know, seeing something that I wasn't seeing. It was just really, really, really unnerving.
You know, here's the great footnote to that. So who'd you sell the house to?
Sold it to Brad Pitt.
Yeah, I mean, of course. Who else would you sell a house like that? Sold it to Brad Pitt.
Yeah, he just showed up at my gate one day. I manifested him because I was dreaming about him at that time. I had just seen Interview with a Vampire. And
oh, yeah. Oh, man.
I couldn't stop thinking about him. I tell you, I know I was married and everything, but I wasn't dead, you know? And I kept having dreams about him. And then one day, ding dong, you know, or the bell rings. I have a gate, a big spider web iron gate at the end of my driveway. And this person on the intercom said, you know, I said, "Who is it?" And he said, "Brad Pitt." And I was, I thought for a minute, I was sure it was my writing partner, John Paragon, joking around. And I go,
yeah,
ha ha, John, you know, who's there really? And he goes, "No, it's Brad Pitt." And that kept going on and on. And finally, I was 9 months pregnant, so I kind of wobbled down to the front gate thinking there's an axe murderer there, I'm sure. And I got down there, and there's Brad Pitt standing at my front door. I mean, I say in the book, I almost dropped the baby right then. Which would have been a good story for my child to say they were delivered by Brad Pitt, you know. But anyway.
We're talking with, if you're just joining us, Cassandra Peterson, a.k.a. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, and she has a new book out, Yours Cruelly, Elvira, which is packed with literally everything that happened to you since you were born up until now, and is extremely interesting, and some of the stuff is so off the wall. For I mean, if moving into, quote, a, quote, haunted house, having conversations with ghosts, then having Brad Pitt ring your doorbell, I mean, who does that? She does.
You know, earlier, nobody ever brings it up. It's so funny. I've done a million interviews now since the book came out, and no one has ever commented on the fact that I lived in a tree for a year in Hollywood.
Now, this wasn't there a rocket launcher involved?
Yes, there was.
So you're living in a tree with a guy.
Yep, my boyfriend, Bill.
Yeah, and underneath the bed is, or underneath something.
Underneath our bed, in a tree, is stored every weapon you can possibly dream of. I mean, AK-47s and AR-15s and a rocket launcher, hand grenades.
What?
We're sleeping on top of that every night, yeah. He claimed to have been a mercenary, you know, and I don't know. I still don't know. He has passed away, unfortunately, in a motorcycle accident. But he was quite a character. Lots of people here in Hollywood are kind of aware of him these days. He was a really interesting guy, but a really great, great guy, too.
What a bizarre story that is. I mean, first of all, we have the Briarcliff Manor. Then we have Cassandra living in a tree with a guy who's maybe an arms dealer in Hollywood. And then just picking out things from your great book, Vincent Price taught you how to cook fish with your dishwasher.
Well, that was one of the many things he did. He was such an awesome guy, and I was a huge Vincent Price fan. I mean, I saw his first, my first horror movie, which was House on Haunted Hill, a William Castle film that starred Vincent Price, and I was just, I was fascinated by him and repelled at the same time. I loved him and hated him. But years later, he came on my show, Movie Macabre, when I became Elvira, and we met, of course, and he was the sweetest, most charming, and funniest guy I'd ever met. And we became kind of friends who would show up at every single, I mean, every time somebody wanted somebody spooky, it was me or Vincent, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we were always thrown together and became quite friendly, and also corresponded over the years, lots of letters between us. There was no email back then. And I heard one of the letters are in the Smithsonian Institute. Who knows?
Wow.
I hope so.
Well, how do you cook a fish in a dishwasher?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. I forgot about that part. Yeah, so he just told me one night. He was quite a famous cook, you know. He had written a cookbook, and he was like a Renaissance man. He did everything, collected art and, you know, cooked. He was an actor. He was just an amazing guy. But he told me if you take a piece of fish and you wrap it really tightly in foil, and you wash your dishes in the dishwasher, put them on as hot as you can, that when your dishes were clean, you'd also have a perfectly steamed piece of fish. And he was right. It works fantastic. You have to make sure it's really well sealed, or you'll have one that tastes like dirty dishes and soap.
Well, just out of the next question that popped into my mind just now is, how did that topic of conversation even come up? Who talks about that?
Yeah, I think he just brought it up. I was talking about what a great cook he was, and I told him I like to cook, too. And and I think he goes, oh, here's something you could try. It's so great and so easy. And I thought, I'll give it a shot. What the hell? It's Vincent Price telling me to do something. I'm going to do it.
Well, I said a few minutes ago that the book literally starts when you're born and goes up until in detail up until the present time,
and I'm
I'm sure, and what we really need to get to too before time runs out is how you became this persona, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, because that was not your intent, if I'm correct. In going west, you wanted to be, correct me if I'm wrong, you wanted to be like a showgirl and in shows and that kind of thing. And you performed with the Groundlings, which is one of the more famous improv groups in the world. And none of that had anything to do with who you became. So can you say how that happened, how it occurred?
I had wanted to be in show business since I was a little kid. I didn't know what I wanted to be in show business, but I was just, I wanted to be the center of attention. I knew that. So, I did a little bit. You know, I was a go-go girl for a while when I was 14, 15, 16. I then became a showgirl in Las Vegas at the Dunes Hotel by the time I was 17. Then went off to Europe and became a singer in a band. And finally made my way to Hollywood, where I decided I was getting a little too old to sing and dance, which, you know, was pushing 24 there, but for a dancer, that's old. And decided I would start concentrating on acting. And I took a lot of acting classes from a lot of people, but eventually wound up at the Groundlings, which was, for me, the best thing I ever did, because I loved doing comedy, and it was was the premier place to learn comedy if you were into that. So, I did that. So I had never thought in my mind that I was going to end up a horror hostess. I mean, I loved horror. I loved it. And I had for my whole life. And strangely, my mom and my aunt had owned a costume shop back where I grew up in Colorado Springs. And so I was the most costume-wearing freak you've ever met. I mean, I wore costumes not just when it was Halloween, but all year round. And so I really did end up in the perfect job, right? I mean, I loved horror. I loved dressing up in costumes, and I ended up with the perfect gig. Certainly not something I planned.
So you actually replaced, if that's the right word, a previous host And her name, I think, forced you and the company and your production crew to find a name for you, and that became Elvira. What was her name again? I forget.
It was Vampyra. And
Vampyra.
Really was Myla Nerney.
Yeah.
And the station that I auditioned for had this plan. They were going to... Myla had worked on the station back in the early 50s. I think it was around... I'm not exactly sure, but 55, 56, something like that. And she had been on there for a very short time. And they wanted to not replace her, but kind of bring it back, you know.
Yeah.
And I was going to play Vampyra's daughter, and my name was going to be Vampyra. And they brought her in. They were going to pay her for the use of the name. And she met me, and she was very unhappy that I was a comedian. She had, I guess, in her head that she wanted Lola Falana, this African-American singer,
yep.
Las Vegas singer, who was in her late 40s at that time. She wanted her to play the character of a vampire. I don't know why, but she, in any case, I was obviously a big disappointment to her. But then I got the part. We were going to call her Vampyra. She would have gotten a nice check every week.
Yeah.
For the rest of her life, which she could have really used at that point. So that was sad that she didn't do that. But she decided to sue the station and over using the name. And we had to come up with a name at the last second. I mean, it was literally the first day I was shooting, the station manager ran in and said, "We can't use the name Vampyra." And everybody that was on the set that day, including the cameraman, the lighting guy, and everyone else, threw in a name that they thought we should call the character. And I threw in the name Cassandra. I just thank my lucky stars I did not pick that. It would be so confusing
yeah.
to be Cassandra redhead and Cassandra
right.
you know, with black hair. Anyway, I picked the name Elvira, and I hated it. I was like, Elvira, oh my God, that sounds like a cowgirl or something. I don't know. I just thought it was really weird.
Uh-huh.
And but that was that. We went on. They named it Elvira. Larry Thomas, the director, threw in the little moniker Mistress of the Dark.
The Dark.
I don't know where the hell that comes from or what it means. And that was that.
Yep, and the rest is history as far as that's concerned.
It is. I'm doing it 40 years now today.
Yeah.
This year is my 40th anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
There's just one more thing I'd like to ask you about, and it's something that happened to you when you were very, very young,
mm-hmm.
and it was a horrible thing that happened, and yet in the book you say you look upon this as the best thing that ever happened in your life. And
I do.
I'd like to get that story.
Well, it certainly had a big impact on my life, and I feel now in retrospect that if it had not happened, I wouldn't have done half of the things that I did, and it wouldn't have gotten to me to where I am today. But when I was 18 months old, my parents lived on a farm in Kansas, and I crawled up on a chair. My mom was boiling Easter eggs, and I guess I heard them banging around the pan or something, but I climbed up on a chair and must have lost my balance and grabbed a hold of this big giant pot of water and pulled it down all over myself. So 35% of my body is skin grafted, and I barely survived. They, in fact, didn't even take me to a big hospital because they said, if you were burned over 25% of your body with third-degree burns back then in the early 50s, it really wasn't survivable. But after a couple of days when I was still alive, the doctor told my dad to get me to this specialist for burns in Kansas City, and I wound up there, and I was alive, and I got a lot of skin grafting. But the thing that it changed about my life was that the scars looked really, really ugly. I felt like I was deformed when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I was bullied and
made fun
of all the time. So I really withdrew, and I kind of withdrew into the world of horror later on. I think I felt some kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, with monsters in horror movies.
Yeah.
Kind of like, I felt like them. I was literally called a monster by kids, you know?
Well, look what you did with it. I mean, it's just absolutely astounding. I want to thank you much for taking the time to talk with us here at WGN. We've been talking to Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, who is actually Cassandra Peterson, and she has a great book out that everybody should get because it's loaded with great stuff, and it's unbelievably well written, too, by the way, I thought.
Oh, thank you. Thank
and
you.
It's called Yours Cruelly, Elvira. Thank you so much for being with us, and
Thank you. That was fun.
And happy Halloween.
And one more thing. Unpleasant dreams.
Oh, that's so awesome!